welcome back to another episode of Triple Hop Session Series. My name's Charlie. You can follow me on Instagram at charlieelling1 and at craftcangang.
I'm Ryan. You can find me on Instagram under the Bearded Beer Bloke.
So it's been quite a while since we've recorded, Ryan.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We took a break over summer.
A little hiatus, yeah, but I think you've got the first spirit back, and it's so to speak, so we were ready to go again.
Yeah, I had the itch, the podcast itch, and we put a poll up on the Triple Hop story, and it would seem that the majority of people that voted wanted to hear us back in their headphones, so here we are. So this is a podcast first for us, Ryan. What are you drinking today?
Water.
And why is that, Ryan?
A little bit unwell. I had one of my best friend's weddings yesterday, and it got a little bit daft, so the thought of actually drinking anything that's not water, it's not going to help today. I've not even eaten yet.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that you're really in the mood for an in-depth discussion about beer.
Oh, I'll talk about it. That's all good. It's all good. But yeah, a little bit hungover on a Thursday the 18th of August when we're recording this. So yeah, Wednesday wedding.
Lovely. Yeah, well, as I pointed out to my girlfriend earlier when I said that you've been at a wedding, and she said, what, on a Wednesday? And I said, well, Wednesday starts with wed, so
yeah,
makes sense.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So what we're going to be talking about today, you know, inspired by a few of the beers that we've both really enjoyed recently, we're going to talk about beer series. So, you know, series can be defined in a load of different ways. What I think we're going to try and steer away from are like different vintages of exactly the same thing.
Yeah, that's one thing for sure. Yeah, that was one thing I kind of wrote down, but then I was like, it's a bit pointless because it's one of those things that I know people do get excited a little bit about the yearly release of the same thing. But I think obviously we're talking about a series where beers are released and then it's the alterations of hops of the same kind of base.
So yeah, you know, they make a tweak to it. There's got to be some material change to the beer, I think.
Yeah.
Just, you know, rather than talking about the 2023 version or whatever, because you know, there's that beer comes out every January that you love and you jump on the hype train for.
Yeah, I know. That one that Ryan's been gutted.
Yeah, that's the one. So we're not going to do this as a draft pick episode. There's going to be no kind of competitive element here. But, you know, as we talk through them, we would love for you to comment, tell us what your favourite series are, whether you think we've missed any real mainstays. I'm sure we have, because I've got a list of them to talk about in front of me. And we're going to keep this to Europe. So if we open it up to the US, I think we could be here for hours. Well, we're going to try and do a second episode on that and get the godfather of US beer series, Neil, on with us to talk about that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And now we've said it on air, he has to do it. So
yeah, sounds good. I think, yeah. So do you want to kick us off with just one off the list that you have that you want to talk about to start with?
So this is a fairly current one, and I think that it's one that we would absolutely have to talk about if we were talking about global beer series. It would feature on anyone's top 10, and it's the Vortex series.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's a good one to start with, isn't it? Like, I think like the first one obviously was released, and I think it just kind of blew everyone away when the first one came out. And I think that was just down to the level it was at, you know, at the time. I mean, like UK scene was good, but then this thing came out from Northern Monk, Equilibrium and Other Half on the back of, I think it was on the back of the Hop City Festival. And they were obviously there pouring. But yeah, and they've obviously amazing artwork on every can with, you know, big shout out to Tank Petrol, who does these amazing artworks with every single can. Yeah, the Vortex series, it's one of those. And I think, like, even to the last one, the final Vortex, which was, I thought was brilliant. And I think there's a lot of people were kind of like, meh. But for me personally, I think that's because, I don't know if you'll agree with me, I think it's because the UK scene is that good now that it's hard for beers to go, wow, you know, it scores high on Untappd and people did enjoy it. But I think there was a few people who kind of, I don't know what they were expecting. I think they were a little bit disappointed with it, but it was like, it was still an amazing beer, but if the final Vortex had come out back when the original one came out, I think people would have been blown away more than what they are now.
Yeah, I think the benchmark has moved significantly since that first one came out. But I agree with you. I think it was a brilliant beer, that final Vortex. I bought four from Northern Monk and then multiples more from other web shops that shall remain unnamed. It's fun. It's really good. Really, really good. I don't think I had the first one. I think I kind of chipped in either the second or third one that they bought out.
Yeah.
And I think I had some of the US versions of it as well.
Yeah, I did. So there was, just to go, yeah, the first one was obviously Infinity Vortex. I was trying to get it in my head where it was.
Yeah,
Infinity Vortex, wasn't it? That was the first one. And then the other half did Gamma Vortex.
Okay.
Which was obviously a collab of EQ and Novamol. And then they did the, it was like the Tank Petrol artwork, but I think it was pink, wasn't it, the can? I think I'm right.
I don't think I had Gamma. I had, is it Polar Vortex was the US one I had. I think it was the Equilibrium one. That was a triple.
Yeah,
10 plus it was.
Yeah, I remember that one, yeah. That's the one with like the heat. Is that one right? It's like a heat scan of the brewers on the front.
Yeah, that's the one.
But
it looked like Predator Vision.
Yeah, exactly that, yeah. But yeah, that was good. I'm just trying to think what the other ones were. But there was, I can't remember the top of my head. I'm trying, even though I've got a laptop in front of me, and yeah, I'm trying to
insert word Vortex.
Yeah.
So, while we're on Northern Monk, though, because they are quite prolific with their series, aren't they?
Yeah.
The other series that I love from them, and I probably love it more than I should, based on one beer that I had from it, is the Inza series.
Yeah, the Inza series.
So Inza, the 1701, when it was just a really heavily hopped, I think it was like a 7-something% IPA. That was phenomenal. And I've always loved the Inza artwork. Like when they did that Inza fridge giveaway.
Yeah.
I think I wore my thumbs out trying to enter that.
I mean, like, that was really good, though. The whole series, and then it was fun at the end because like, you put all the labels together in a specific pattern, and then you had, like, an insert app on your phone, and when you held it up, the artwork moved and came out at you. Like, you did all these things, reveal the code then, so you could go on and buy the gold one, which was the triple IPA that did. I've still got one of the cans of the limited edition ones that was spray-painted by him as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got it there.
So you probably went in for the Inza.
Yeah, I went in. I had every single one. I think there was like, I think it was based on the Boost chocolate bar, and it was like a Boost stout.
Oh, the stout. I had that. I did have that. So that was like really good.
And then they did one also with Barrier. I think that
was the stout like 1703? So I remember I had 1702, and I believe that was like a fruited IPA, and it was back in the day when adjuncts and IPA were just categorically not a thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember. There was like, yeah, because one was like a red one, wasn't it? I mean, I can't remember what it was, or the... I can't remember. I am just actually looking. I'm not actually prepared this more.
Have a Google. Treat yourself.
And the Insta Nova Mutrins, yeah, it was like... I've got it here. Oh my God, they're so badly prepared. I have to apologise because I am extremely hungover today. But yeah, so yeah, there was 1701 was AAA, which was a TDH IPA. Then there was Ethel, which was a tropical IPA. And then the stout was 1703 called Pete's Dark Past.
Wow, I can't believe I pulled that out of the memory bank. I had Pete's Dark Past at London Craft Beer Fest 2019. They definitely had that on.
Yeah.
Like Saturday day sesh.
Yeah.
And then I was cracking.
They went all the way through. They did the one which was like, was it Pete's Sour Grapes or something?
I think Pete's Dark Past was the last one that I had out of the series.
It was Neil's Sour Grapes.
Yeah.
That was a 5-fruit Gozer that they did.
See, nowadays, I wish I could jump in a time machine for a lot of reasons, but I would love to go back with my modern palette and try some more of that stuff. I think I could have really got into it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's one of those. I mean, the fruit, even that game's completely changed now, hasn't it? Like the way that they're made, especially with like the likes of Vault City and, you know, they've obviously come out and done all the sours, but like, yeah.
So for the next series, I think we should stay in the north.
Yeah.
I would quite like to talk about Track because I think that they are a low-key master of bringing out series. And I love the Gold Top series. I know that you have your issues with it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I liked the first one they did with the range.
Meet me in the middle.
Yeah, I thought that was brilliant. But then after that, I just find them undrinkable. They're too sweet for me. I mean, There's not else. I'm not saying the bad beers or anything like that, not one bit, but they're just not for me. They're just, I just find them ridiculously sweet. And I like the concept of them, obviously, with, and that sounds silly because it is, it's got lactose in it, like a lot in it, which is hence the Gold Top, which I think is quite a cool little niche that they've done there. And I thought it was quite clever, making them Gold Top, like the milk. I was like, that's clever.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, it's like the UK version of doing an oat cream type thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And I was just like, and it's just different. And I totally get why people love them. You know, I'm 100% get that, like why people would love, because I thought people just like sweet kind of styles of the beer. But yeah, after Meet Me in the Middle, I mean, there was a couple I tried and I was just like, even tried, like there was one with Nelson, I think, and I tried that and I was like, no, I can't deal with these. They were just not for me. And I know you love them.
I do, which is weird because I don't really like sweet beers like that, unless it's a stout. I'm kind of against sweet IPA, but for whatever reason, they really do it for me. It could be the Gold Top, to be honest. I think there's some like semantic priming going on there. Yeah. Where just anything with gold in, I love.
I thought, though, I mean, we'll move on to one that I was going to talk about next anyway, but I think, like you said, with Track as well, they do the really good season. They do the ones like the newer ones, but it's called The Art and the Poetry. And
Fractions. I was going to mention Fractions, yeah.
Yeah, which you obviously entered a competition and
got
your poem on the can.
Got a little edgy poem on the can.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a little bit like the Patrons project, I guess, like Northern Monk, isn't it? Like, because obviously they're getting photographers in and getting someone to write poetry, I guess.
Yeah, I like cool, I like the crowdsource element of it. I think it's really good for the community. The other series that I'm quite excited about from them is this Luck series they've just started doing, where they're experimenting with different like hop products and preparations. I haven't tried any of them yet. The first one was a Galaxy one, which I should get because I love Galaxy to death.
Yeah.
But I haven't got around to it yet.
Yeah, it's one of those things at the moment, though, isn't it? It's like, because of the scene changes so much as well, there's also so many breweries now in the UK. Like, if you were to go back 5 years ago compared to now, it's an insane amount. And everyone's really good. So sometimes it's difficult to try it. You can't, it's like the Pokemon thing, you can't catch them all. You can't possibly do it. So you kind of have to pick and choose. So with the Track ones, I mean, I haven't even really thought about the Lux one, but I probably will pick them up because they look quite good. I know that, they should be quite good, the Lux Book series.
Their Dreaming Of series is good as well. I had the first one, which I think that was also Galaxy, the Dreaming of Galaxy. And I recently had the Nelson one on tap, on keg. It was pretty good. It's like just a really pleasant 6% and change, really hoppy IPA. No faults with it. Probably isn't going to be worth writing home about. Like, it's not going to stand out in the lineup of stuff from Verdant or Cloudwater or whoever else. But, you know, as a series of things, I think it works.
Yeah, 100%. I think, like, as well, like I just said before, like, with the North, I think we should probably just give them a mention because of we always bring them up in when we do, like, the draft picks. And obviously, North Brewing Co. and their Triple Fruited Ghost series.
Yeah.
You know, that's another one. That was completely changed the game when they came out. That first one they did, I think, was with Verdant. And the first Triple Fruited Ghost was just like insanely good, wasn't it? It was completely different to what everyone had done.
Yeah. Yeah. They were very pioneering. But when did they come out? 2019? Around there. Because I remember we have one at Arundel, which was 2020, and that was the first time that I tried one.
Yeah, that was the Boysenberry one for the birthday, I think, or their anniversary. Yeah. But they've done lots of that. But they've just kind of quietened down completely, haven't they, like North at the moment? Like, you don't really see any of their, like, I don't remember the last time they did a Triple Fruit of Good. I think there's one being out this year, but I can't remember any of them that they've done. You know, they seem to just, they were releasing them every other month, and now.
Yeah, I just don't see them anywhere either.
No, not one bit. Like, it's as if North now are just focused on their supermarket production. You don't even see, they used to all do all these big double IPAs and big stouts, and I don't really see much from them. Sounds a bit daft.
It's a shame because
living up here, but
I'd like to see them have a renaissance for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they were knocking out beers all over, like amazing beers, and then I just have no idea, but
So another brewery in that general vicinity that I think are pretty good at knocking out a series, and we would be absolutely remiss not to mention them, is Gladwater.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So there are three that I've got on my list, but we, you know, we could go on endlessly about the Gladwater series. The one that everyone is going to want us to mention is the V series, but as we discussed pre-record, neither of us ever had any of them.
No, none of them. So we're just giving it a mention so we don't get in trouble, but then...
Yeah.
I did have the collab with Verdun on the mashup, which was very good, which was one of the V series with Verdant's Alan. But yeah, that was before mine. I mean, the series that will stand up, and I guess I'm probably gonna steal these words from you, will be the My Continuous Improvement.
Oh yes, and Persistence is Utile. Yeah, those two were
game changers on the stouts. Like when they first came out, that first one, it was like just pouring cake batter into a glass.
Yeah,
just something completely different. Like it was just different, wasn't it? Like not the stout was, and the body of it was just like, what is this?
Oh, yeah, I remember when, you know, people were trading single cans of that for stuff that was worth 20, 30 quid.
It was the
demand on that.
Because it sold out, and then people just saw it, and people obviously bought it, but then with everything, hype comes involved, and Cloudwater had only done a small kind of release on it, and then I think they released some more cans of it. And it just went insane. Like you said, I saw it on training groups and they were going for silly things because people were that desperate to get hold of it. Like the first one was like such a high rated beer as well. Like knocking like 4.5 plus.
I think it's 4.59 still.
Yeah.
The original NCI. I've got one can of the first batch left.
Yeah.
Sat at the back of my fridge. Probably slowly turning into soy sauce.
But like the, what is it on the Black Forest one? They did the Mayan, the one, and they obviously they've done the ginger
blueberry.
One, blueberry, and then the amazing chocolate orange one.
So, but, you know what? Still haven't had it.
Yeah, not a fan of chocolate orange, but the start was all right. I enjoyed that one, but I'm not really a fan of chocolate orange anyway, so can't deal with Terry's chocolate orange. But
the other series, go on.
I was saying, I think we actually had. Did we not have that on an old episode and drink it?
No, I don't think so. I think we were going to. I've definitely still got the one can of it that I bought.
Brilliant.
But so there's one more series from Cloudwater that's probably a little bit more obscure but recent that I love. And I don't know if it counts as a series because as far as I can tell, it's just three beers so far. But it's the I Forgot My Insert Word series. Like I forgot my name, I forgot my problems, I forgot my something or other. I can't remember the other one. That like Motueka, I think it's Motueka Sabro. That weird combination of funky pina colada hops on that Cloudwater base is absolutely stunning.
I've not had any of them.
Have you not?
No, not had any of them. Yeah, again, like I said, like the way it is with them, it's just difficult, I think. I'm just looking at this, I forgot my name and I forgot my problems.
Yeah, but there are three, because there's a triple, a double, and a single. I can't remember the name of the other.
But yeah, I think like, yeah, but like for me as well, if we want to move away from Cloudwater, we'll carry on going up. I think we've got to give a shout out to Overturn, haven't we? And like the Honey series is probably one that we both love. Like they're so clever. Like, especially for people if you've had like the Trillium cutting tiles range.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're that's what they're based on, aren't they? They're based on the cutting tiles.
Yeah.
But they are just unbelievable, then. Like the Motueka one.
Oh, that was so great. Good. That was really good. And the names are like, you know, insert hop name, I'm home, as in the play on honey, I'm home, I'm guessing.
Yeah, very, very good.
And their It's All series, their single hop dippers, they're really good.
Yeah.
The It's All Nelson one was amazing.
Yeah, very, very good. I'm a big fan of Overturn. Big fan, you know, cracking brewery, good people, and like, yeah, they're making really good beers. I think they were like one of the newbies that came on the scene, and that they were kind of like, when they arrived, they got a lot of attention straight off the bat, didn't they? Like, there was a lot of people going, who are these? And they were like, yeah, they make really good beers, but yeah, the Honey series was just a little something different, I know. Nice, yeah, great series, though.
So I reckon we should pivot a little bit and talk about what I think are the OG kings of beer series.
Yeah.
And that'll be the Colonel.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, we could have...
Everything they do is... Yeah, we could have done a whole episode on series that they've done, because everything they do is a series. Yeah, just everything. Continually rotates.
Yeah, you could... They just do every single standard and just put a different hop in, don't they? So Colonel are just a series brewery in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really mess around too much. Like, all the way from table beers all the way up to Russian stouts. You know,
the export stout. It's like a different hopped export stout. It's
And then all the way then up to the sides and the beer de saison, which are phenomenal.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you think is your favourite Colonel series?
I just like this. I like standard IPAs, man, and I'm happy with just them. But yeah, the beer de saisons as well, especially in the summer, it's insane out there.
Yeah, the damson's great, the raspberry's great, the sour cherry's great, the quince is great, the apricot's great. Like, they're just all brilliant.
Yeah, the quince one's phenomenal, and the cider apple one as well.
Yeah, that's very brilliant.
Good. Very, very good. But yeah, the Colonel, obviously, like, I think they are the kings of like what they do out there, and like. Yeah, a lot of love out for that.
So, sticking around the kind of London and surrounding areas area, I quite like some of the stuff that Siren do in series. So, there are two that I think are probably worth mentioning. One is their Suspended In series. And I don't know if you'll ever have had this, because the Suspended In stuff, apart from in lockdown where they canned it and they just called it Suspended In cans, which is hilarious. Right, Suspended In is just a 4.something% pale ale with a different single hop every time.
Okay.
So the first one I ever had was Suspended In Sabro, which was, you know, that was when Sabro was just becoming popular, like 2019 era. Mm-hmm. And it was great, like super crushable. Like, big, thick body for the ABV. And they knock them out all the time.
I am just put them into Untappd, and there's 115 different versions of it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah, they are prolific with that series.
I probably will have had one.
Yeah, it happened the other week. It was a Talus one. Single hop Talus.
That's it. 79 there is. When I put the full words in, yeah. So there's 79 different versions of it.
Yeah,
wow, very impressive. Things like Siren, though, like, I know you live quite close to it. So it's just one of them that just kind of get left behind for me. But yeah, the good thing is the stouts, you know, when they do the stout series, like they did the series with like the roller coaster ones. And I managed to pick them.
Yeah, the Haunted House series.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, they were really good. All three of them were brilliant.
Yeah, there was one called Haunted House, wasn't there? But I know the ones you're on about. They had kind of like, they all had similar labels in that kind of big clip art font.
Yeah, like Circus Fun Fest. I think one's called like something Waltz.
Yeah.
I think one
was just called Waltzer, yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
They were really good.
Very good, yeah.
That was the other series I was going to mention from them, actually.
Oh, was it? Fair enough. I mean, there's just, like you said, we could go on forever, couldn't we? Especially because it's a good job we didn't really bring the US in. Like, it's if we're doing UK and Europe, is there anyone's in Europe that stand out to you?
There are quite a few, yeah. I've got a few UK ones left, though, that I just want to give a brief shout out to.
Oh, we can do that, yeah. That's all right.
So my final London brewery is Boxcar. And I love Boxcar. I feel like I'm an idiot because I only, in air quotes, discovered them last year, and I could have been drinking it for years. But their single hop dipper series, Meditations, is really good. I just think they've got a really great base dipper recipe. They've nailed it, and they just launch a load of good hops on top of it. Like, I had the Galaxy one, I had the Mosaic one. They're just good dippers.
Yeah, really good. I like Boxcar. It's good when I go down to London to go to their tap room. It's a really, really good little place. And
yeah,
they make some fantastic beers. And then the other series, which has been fun, and it was quite a lot for the, I guess, people on Instagram and the beer scene kind of enjoyed it, was the Dark Mild series that they did.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Dark Mild, Double Dark Mild, and Triple Dark Mild.
And they've got Light Mild coming out next week.
Oh, have they? So there's a fourth version. I don't know. But yeah,
but that, I mean, that's technically like a golden ale, but I guess it will share some flavor characteristics.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think it's like that. A lot of people went, I had the double, but I've not had the triple. I don't think it was something I kind of fancied, a 9% that mild.
Now, this is a controversial statement. It is by far the best in the series. Yeah. It is outrageously good. Yeah. Yeah. I've had a few, and mild is absolutely not my thing.
Yeah. No, I had the original and I had the double, but I never went that far in with the triple. So
I think another brewery that do a good series, in fact, they might be a brewery that operates mainly in series, is Three Hills.
Yeah.
So their BP AVK stout series.
Yeah.
I've had a few of their pastry ones, and I recently had like a port barrel aged one, which was great. And they've got their IPAs seem to be quite heavily focused in series as well. They've got the In Pursuit, they've got Of Juice, and I think there's another one. The Of Juice series was great back in the day.
Yeah. Remember those? Yeah,
do you ever have any of those? Series.
Pardon?
Did you ever have any of those Of Juice ones?
Yeah, I had the In Pursuit series though.
Okay.
Yeah, I have those. But yeah, and then I think like the other one that we were gonna mention as well would be Beak, wasn't it, as well?
Well, yeah, there's a bit of contention. So we were talking in the Triple Hop group about what we were going to feature on this one. And Neil pointed out to me that the Beak Local series, I assumed was a series because they have, you know, V1 through V6 or V7 or whatever. I don't think they change anything in the beer. So I'm going to disqualify myself on that one. I think they're all Citra Nelson, and I don't know if they play with anything else.
They're just all Nelson, yeah.
There you go.
So it's not a series, it's just to change the can out.
Yeah, because I remember there was one with a cat.
Yeah. So we'll just discount that.
Yeah, we'll count that one. Left-handed Giant.
Yeah.
The Blender series. Can we call that a series?
I don't know what it is, because I think like Left-handed Giant have like a couple of like subsections, because they have the LHG brew pub series as well, don't they?
Yeah, they do the like the hopped pills and all that sort of stuff.
And that comes from, and I think that comes from a different place, a different name. And then Blender, it's just called Blender. And I think that is a project. So it is like a series, because they do the sours. And obviously they've started doing the stouts and the mixed firm stuff as well.
Yeah.
They just released one, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. It's got like rose hip and some other bits in it. It's like bright orange.
Yeah, bright orange, yeah.
Because I had the levitation one, the raspberry one.
Yeah.
And that was just insane. It really was. And the stouts I've had one of, which was like a 4-year barrel age thing with pistachios.
Yeah, that was mental.
Yeah, it really good. I mean, I bought the more recent one they bought at Hieroglyph, the rum barrel and coconut one. I bought two of those immediately because I wasn't taking a chance on only being able to get one.
Yeah, I've got a bottle of that, but it's just when do you want to drink 750 mils of stout?
That's the challenge, isn't it?
It's IV'd. That's over a long evening. Oh, you're sharing that. But the original one was very good. And I mean, like, the whiskey barrel age, wasn't it? Yeah, where you said with pistachio and honeycomb. I'm not even going to attempt to say its name. It was like Coalescence. Is that right? Is that what you said?
Coalescence. That's the one.
Yeah. Very good. And then the new
one. As in, when many things coalesce. So, I mean, it wouldn't be an episode of this, certainly not with me, without talking about Verdon.
No, obviously not. So, I thought we were going to get away from it before.
No, there's absolutely no way. don't ever expect that of me. So, a couple of series from them. They don't really do too much in the way of series, not in the way that a lot of other breweries do. But one thing that I really liked that they did was something called Seedfall, which was a series of very sessionable beers that were predominantly aimed at the local market around them. Okay. So they used to be mostly, I think they were actually exclusively lagers, but they did a Helles. I can't remember what number it was in the Seedfall series, but that was so good that they made that their full-time Helles that's on at the tap room. Okay. And if you're down in Cornwall and you have access to that, it's really good. I'm not sure what they bring out in terms of Seedfall these days, but you know, there was a period where you couldn't get it anywhere else. The other series that I want to mention from them is their recent, I don't know if this is a series or not, or whether it's just an experiment.
I think it is in a way, isn't it? Because it's a new way of doing it. But I'm guessing they might switch to that way.
And that series is the TDH No Dextrose Dippers. TDH ND DIPA.
Yeah, they are bonkers. Like, they're so good. The Flock collab was outrageous, wasn't it? Like,
literally wandering.
Yeah, it's probably around the best beer this year. And then there was the Under the Same Sky as well, which was fantastic.
And Whale Sharks.
And Whale Sharks, yeah. I preferred the Flock one to Whale Sharks, but the Flock ones, that's probably the best beer I think I've released this year for me, the Flock collab.
I think I'm with you.
It just tasted different as well. That was one thing I kind of liked. It was just different. It tasted cleaner, like a clean burden. And if that makes sense. Like,
sometimes
they're a bit very heavy on the burden, but it was nice. It was a bit stripped back, but it still kept its character, which I liked.
It's also, for me, it's the innovation that they've needed.
Yeah. I think so. Because obviously, I think it's good to have change, isn't it? And then, like, I think that is it just those three that have done? Was the Whale Sharks the last
so far.
One?
Yeah.
It would have been
I have everything crossed that next January we get a TDH No Dextrose putty.
Yeah, see, I'd get involved, I'd have to try it, but
you would, yeah. And if you didn't, I'd send you one as a mystery beer.
All right, yeah, that's good.
And then laugh at how much you loved it.
it would have been good if they'd have done the new other half. That would have been interesting. The other half on the release yesterday. Remember Me If I Forget, it's called.
Yeah.
But they that would have been interesting if they'd done the No Dextrose version of that. But
I mean, also they're just on their first tipper. They're breaking all sorts of ground now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having that.
You'll see lactose in one soon.
Yeah, that's it. They'll do, on the opposite, they'll just do their own Gold Top series.
So I think that kind of brings us to a close on the UK ones that we had listed. Probably a ton more. And again, we want you to tell us what we've missed. So drop us a comment, drop us a message. Point out the obvious mistakes that we've made in omissions.
I mean, if you were to sit down and look over, there's probably hundreds, isn't there? But we just tried to pick the ones which we kind of, we just kind of know about. So it was just kind of like ones that we enjoyed as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take a trip into Europe for a couple.
Yeah.
What have you got on your list?
So I've gone with a Munsden and the Dessert in a Can series. I love that series. And I think it's just, even though sometimes, you know, they might not be the best apps in the world, they're just fun, aren't they? And they're like little 330ml cans. Mm. And they're just puddings. Like they say, they add desserts in the can, like, and they nail the taste on, like, a majority of them I've had. All taste. Like, even, like, the blueberry muffin tasted like a blueberry muffin. And it was not even just blueberry. Like, it actually tasted like that sponge of, like, you know, the cake. I was like, that's clever.
I like about them. They don't take themselves seriously, do they? They are just really fun little beers.
Yeah, and they're nice because you don't have to, like, you know, it's not 500 mils or 6, whatever, they're like 11% stouts. They're just nice little cans that you can just have on your own. You know, really good fun. And then they did the Barrel-Aged series of them as well.
Yeah, I don't think I had any of the Barrel-Aged ones.
Yeah, I had a couple of those as well.
Was there any barrel on them? Or were they just...
Yeah, there was a lot of barrel on them. Yeah, they were very good. I mean,
next time.
Yeah, I think it was I had the peanut butter caramel jam donut. That's one of the new ones as well. So, and then there was like a barrel-aged salted caramel one as well, which is really good.
Really just excellent words all in a row there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why it's so fun, though, isn't it? That's it. It's a lot of fun.
So kind of staying in that region of the world, I've got a couple of others on here. Yeah. And one of my favourite series to come out recently, and one that I'm really excited about the potential for, is Rackhouse from Lerbig.
Yeah.
I've had quite a few, and they've all been absolutely stellar. Like, on par with anything you would pay upwards of £30 for and worry about getting through customs with an olive oil label on it.
Yeah, I remember when you had the first one, and you were saying how how amazing they were. Like, you would love them, didn't you? I've not got around to even having them yet. But
there are a lot of things to like about them. The beers themselves are really good. They are pretty heavy on barrel, but they display the adjuncts well. But also the bottles are so well presented with that really nicely textured label, the wax that matches the colour of the label a lot of times. Sometimes it doesn't. There's a nice contrast. But that Stoutella one that I had recently was unbelievable. It was just like booze and Nutella.
You proper love the barrel though, don't you?
I do love the barrel.
Have you got anything else that you wanted to talk about on from your report?
Pohala? The Cellar Series,
yeah. They're good.
They do some good stuff.
Yeah.
I think they fly under the radar a lot.
Yeah. Again, like the oversaturation in the market, isn't it? So like it's one of those things again we just talked about earlier. It's just sometimes it's just difficult. You can't pick everything up.
No, yeah, I think you just, you know, those beers like Pohala ones, you forget them because they are ostensibly just really well made beers. There's no gimmicks, no adjunct, there's nothing marketing wise that's really gonna pull your focus and your attention. They're not doing anything that no one else is doing, but what they do really well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like when the brewer does it well.
Yeah. They might sell really well in their local market, and I really hope they do.
I imagine they do. I mean, some of their Cellar Series ones have got like monster, like 18,000, some of them, like checking. So there must be big, obviously big over there, right? I think it's Estonia or Pohala. Yeah.
I think
Estonia.
They don't make anything else, do they? They just do dark beers, as far as I can tell.
No, I think I'm sure I had in a bottle some sort of orange Gurza thing. There's a collab with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm sure they did something like that. And it was like, they do every style on their Untappd.
Well, yeah, so they do, yeah.
I'm guessing it's just their, a lot of the stout stuff, the stuff that actually comes into the UK.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably about right, to be honest. It's just like the only stuff I've ever bought from them is dark beer. So my sincerest apologies to Pohala. If I see an IPA, I'll try it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be fair, we've probably only scratched the surface of Europe, haven't we? Yeah,
we could probably do another episode on it, but that just it'd be a nice introduction to it. Then we could do Europe and then go on to the US, but yeah, I think it was good.
Yeah, covered quite a bit of ground there. One that we didn't mention that I've just noticed was on my notes for Cloudwater was the Chuvel series.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. And I was like, but then I thought, we could just leave that for people to moan at us that we didn't mention it.
Yeah, I feel that's kind of red rag to a bull though, isn't it? So everyone, we mentioned Chuvels. Little Chuvels was the best.
Yeah.
I won't explain myself.
fair.
Nice. Well, that brings us, I think, to a conclusion of our series chat. As I mentioned several times, we want to hear what your favourite series are from the UK and Europe. And if you'd be interested in hearing our take on a US series episode featuring the inimitable Neil. But for now, it's great to be back.
Yeah, enjoyed that. Yeah, it was fun.
We're going to try and get these out a bit more frequently. So thank you for everyone that was patient waiting for this episode and those who voted saying, yes, you wanted to hear us. And we'll catch you next time.
Thanks a lot.